In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. If one of the many themes of Advent might be preparation, the overall theme, I think, you really get that in spades today on this, the third Sunday of Advent. We're halfway through Advent. Time is running out, in a way. Time is running out. 2 more weeks left. And we are both engaged now, even more fervently, in the preparation for the coming of our Lord, but it's also a Sunday just to realize we are halfway there and to take heart. So it is also Rose Sunday. Rose is the color of hope in a penitential season. So that is why the pink candle is lighted on the Advent wreath, and also why we have this Sunday flowers. The other Sundays we do not. This Sunday we have pink roses, just to give us a little sign of promise and hope, even as we hear some pretty heavy words from John the Baptist. So don't give up quite yet. Keep at it. In addition to it being Rose Sunday, it is also Stirrup Sunday from the collect that was just said. Stirrup Sunday. I remember Stirrup Sunday when I was a choir boy in the 1928 prayer book, and I often thought to myself, does God have stirrups? I never could put it together. It took me a while until I kind of, you know, was a little better at reading that I realized it was a different kind of stirrup. Stirrup because of the collect that we just heard prayed for, and an unusual one at that. So just a little moment to explore what a collect is. A collect is a prayer that does collect. I mean, that's the source of the word. It collects thoughts or themes or ideas at moments in the liturgy. For example, at the end of the prayers of the people, if there is not necessarily absolution, there is a collect that collects all of our prayers and thoughts. During morning and evening prayer, there are many, many collects for specific occasions and purposes. And perhaps the most obvious is at the beginning of every Eucharist, where it has place of prominence. Every Eucharist has a proper or special collect for that occasion. There are hundreds of them in the prayer book. And so they're there to gather prayers, to gather thoughts, to point us to themes. They're offered generally by one voice, the officiant or the celebrant, on behalf of the people, which is why there is a very kind of rhythm to them, and then you all assent, Amen. And there's a form to them. There is actually a collect form. If you take your bulletins for a moment and bounce back to the first page, and right there on the first page at the top, where after he says the word of God, and then, you know, blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the opening sentence. And then we have the collect for purity, which has been in every Anglican prayer book since 1549. And it is a translation of the preparation of the priest in the sacristy while the priest was putting on vestments. And it follows beautifully the normal collect format. First, we have an invocation, Almighty God, or O God, or Merciful God, kind of get God's attention. Then we have an attribute about God. To you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Then we have the petition, cleanse, a verb, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. And then we have the resolution. What do we want as a result of our petition? That we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, and the close through Christ our Lord. That's the collect format. So if you're ever somewhere, let's say you're at a family gathering and you're pressed into saying grace because they know you go to church. This has happened to me because they know I'm ordained, you know. Just take a moment and a breather and you'll use the collect format and it will sound beautiful and it will make sense and it will organize your thoughts. Now for the surprise. Down the page, the Lord be with you and also with you, let us pray. And there's the collect for the day. And what do you notice about it that makes it leap off the page? How does it begin? Stir up, right? Petition. No opening, how are you, God? No opening, gee, we love you, God. By the way, we'd like you to do this for us, God. It's bang, stir up. Stir up your power. Come among us. We're sorely hindered by sins. Help, deliver us. This is the telegram version of a collect. Right off the bat, get to work and do something. This collect is unusual because it comes from the Sarum Rite, which was the collects that were assembled for use at Salisbury Cathedral in the 11th century. And all of them for Advent begin with the Latin word excita, E-X-C-I-T-A, which enters English as excite, but which literally in Latin means wake up. Wake up, God. Wake up. Help us. So Stir Up Sunday has been prayed on this Sunday for over 1,000 years. Just to let you know that here and there in the prayer book are prayers of ancient rite that have been said for centuries. So, stir up, O Lord, come among us. And the stir up actually also applies to us. Stir us up, O God, because our sins get in the way of loving you and knowing you. Wake us up. Wake us up for the coming of God in this season. I think John the Baptist, if he prayed with collects, would love this collect. Stir up, as he's doing today in the gospel. He is stirring up the people who are coming out to be baptized, which is all well and good. And then John says, but you know what? It's going to take more than that. I baptize you with water. Someone is coming after me who's going to baptize your hearts with fire and set them on fire for the love of God. God is about to do something amazing, so get ready and get ready now. Baptism is the easy part, says John. The hard part is doing something about it in your lives. Baptism cleanses you. The Holy Spirit will convert you. And Luke is always addressing in his gospel classes of people. Although Luke is sending a universal message to everyone, Luke loves to treat different groups of people and share the gospel with them specifically, and he's doing this today. And so when the people basically throw up their hands and say, well, what should we do? How should we respond? Luke has John fill them in. For the ordinary middle-class folk, maybe nearly all of us sitting here this morning, you must be willing to share up to half of your clothing and food with those who have none. That's why the specificity of two coats, you must share at least one. Those two things, clothing people and feeding people, are two of the seven corporal acts of mercy that together sustain life. Perhaps they're the most two important acts of mercy, garments and sustenance. And what is St. Michael's doing this Christmas season? Providing coats for those who come to Crossroads of Detroit, providing food for those to come at the Harbor Woods Food Pantry. Life. You must sustain life. Then to the tax collectors. The tax collectors, always despised and a bit out of respect, shall we say, at the time of Jesus, Luke brings them into his plan and has John the Baptist say, well, basically there's no skimming and no cheating and no thumb on the till. You are to collect only what is fair and right. Wealth. The sharing of wealth. And the soldiers, who were probably Jewish soldiers in service to Herod, not Roman soldiers, it would be unlikely that Roman soldiers would be present at any of John's activities. In this case, the Jewish soldiers who already are in on the story to a great degree, they're told, no abuse of your power and authority, because those in power must earn the respect of those they protect. Do not extort, do not abuse. Security. The three groups speak for those areas of our common life. Life, wealth, and security. Three of the major themes that you will hear in Luke's gospel during this year's C. Now, the irony is that none of what John the Baptist asks of them is really that difficult or extraordinary when you think about it. It's all within reach, all reasonable, all the ways in which people should act anyway, but so often don't. When the opportunity presents itself to be led astray. So why does John the Baptist spell out these terms and conditions? Because he knows the hearts of those around him. He knows his own heart. He knows how far short of the mark we all fall and how often we have to be called back, be prepared to return to Jesus. The Reverend Christopher Yoder had this wonderful paragraph on this gospel this morning. When John the Baptist preached to the people in the wilderness, his words cut them to the quick, and they asked him then, well, what shall we do? And do you notice how John responded? John had something particularly challenging to say to each group of people who came to him. To each class, he spelled out in simple terms the meaning of repentance. To the ordinary, selfish folk, blind to the needs of others because of their preoccupation with their lives, to tax collectors whose trade was a form of licensed extortion, to soldiers accustomed to line their pockets by intimidation and blackmail, he gave the same warning, renounce your besetting sins. Every class or category of human society has its own particular besetting sins. Every vocation and every stage of life has its characteristic temptations. The question for us, as we hear John the Baptist, should be, what are our besetting sins? Which sins particularly hinder us from knowing God? And what are we going to do about it? The annual campaign, the stewardship campaign for St. Michael began, or St. Michael's, I should say, began this past week. We have started to get those very nice oversized yellow envelopes in the mail with a Christmas stamp and the magic school bus stamp. We had to put extra postage on it. The only thing the post office had were magic school buses. I thought, perfect, perfect. Christmas is coming and the bus is going to pick us up and take us and get us there. So you'll notice it if it hasn't turned up, you will recognize it. And that is a request not only for dollars of support, important as that is, but also a request for your recommitment to your Christian faith as lived out at St. Michael's. And this year, vestry members each had about 10 or 11 households. Their letters were personalized to those households. Those vestry members are asking you to join them in their commitment to this church. And there are many ways to do that in our life and in your life, but now is the chance, the annual chance that Advent gives us to examine lives and ask God, what can I do? And how can I help? Because no matter what challenges or problems or obstacles, whatever we feel is overwhelming us and we can't do anything about it, there are opportunities to respond with God's grace and to do something. Because when we do something, we are helping not only ourselves, but we're helping God to heal and to help God's creation. So for the rest of this week, and maybe the week after up until Christmas Eve, think about today's collect. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.